The sad fact is, Christians, just like everyone else, aren't always careful with their words. The difference is, Christians like to believe they have a better excuse for their careless words. Here's Skip Heitzik to explain.
We have all, at some point or another, overheard Christians talking, and their conversation is not very encouraging. Truth be told, it's very discouraging. It's funny how they love to do it in the name of God.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
Whether at a lake or a pool, the question is how to acclimate to the cold water. Is it better to gently wade in a bit at a time or just dive right in all at once? When it comes to the Christian life, we face a similar question, and our decision is often decided by the type of encouragement we receive. Today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik explores the influence encouragement has on a Christian's growth. But before we get started with that study, if you haven't ever taken the time to contact us, we'd like to encourage you to do that. In fact, if you get in touch with us for the first time today, we'll send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called The Dark Side of God. It's just a little thank you gift for all of our new friends. So give us a call at 1-800-922-1888, or visit us online at connectionradio.org. You know, getting soaked with cold water can be intimidating, and the same is true with the Christian life. There's really no right way to approach it, diving in or wading in. That's why we need encouragers who can help us figure out the right way for each of us to approach our growth in Christ, so we can make a splash in this world.
And make the connection.
We'll continue our series, Paul's Long Road to Rome, today in the book of Acts, chapter 11. So if you'll open your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzik for today's study.
Look what it says in verse 23. When he came and he had seen the grace of God. How do you do that? Have you ever seen God's grace? Well, you don't see it per se, but you see the results of God's grace. He came into town and saw changed people. He saw the result of the message. It made him glad. When he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And look at this. And encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So in chapter 11, this is the second means by which his encouragement is displayed. He is furthering a fresh commitment made by those in Antioch. He encouraged them all. Some of you know that there is a spiritual gift. That's right, a special designation, a spiritual gift called the gift of encouragement. The Old King Jimmy and the New King James call it exhortation. The gift of exhortation. Better translation, the gift of encouragement. That's his gift. And by the way, that's his name. Barnabas means, as I mentioned, son of encouragement. But did you know that was not his original name? That wasn't his birth name. He had a whole different name. This was a nickname given him by somebody else. Let's find out who. Got to do this. Acts chapter 4. Go back just a few chapters. Acts chapter 4. Verse 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, or if you have a different translation, might be Joseph, and Joseph, or Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles. They gave him the nickname, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It's the same word as we just read in chapter 11, paraklesis or parakaleo. One's a noun, one's a verb. It simply means to call alongside someone who will help you. Or it means, as a person, I will come alongside somebody who needs my help. That's the idea. And that's what exhortation or encouragement is. I'm going to come alongside someone and help them mature, grow further along in their faith. I'll never forget an interesting conversation I once had with a man who had a scowl on his face, and he said, "I have the gift of exhortation." I knew by the way he said it, he had no clue as to what that meant. Because doesn't it sound weird if I say, "I have the gift of encouragement"? It's a paradox. You don't say that like that. You see, some people think that the gift of exhortation means I have the gift of condemnation. I'm the Holy Spirit finger pointer. I'm the God squad. I'm the sin sniffer. It all stops here. The clearinghouse of all truth comes through me because I have the gift of exhortation. Now, this is truly a gift of encouragement. Encouragement. A needed gift. We have all, at some point or another, overheard Christians talking, and their conversation is not very encouraging. Truth be told, it's very discouraging. It's funny how they love to do it in the name of God. Let me just say, if you're a non-believer this morning as a visitor or a young believer, on behalf of the body of Christ, I apologize for all the conversations you have had to have heard over the years by people who call themselves his children. Henry Drummond once said, "How many prodigals are kept out of the kingdom of God by those unlovely characters who profess to be inside?" No, as believers, we ought to be more on the side of those who understand grace. William Barclay said, "One of the highest human duties is the duty of encouragement. It's easy to pour cold water on people's enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. But we have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet." That's the power of applause. Attaboy, keep at it. You're doing great. So, Mr. Encouragement comes to town. He sees what God is doing, and he doesn't scowl and say, "Now, wait a minute. I have the gift of exhortation." He was glad. And notice what he says. He encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Can you hear him? I know it's hard being a Christian here in Antioch. I know this is a tough town. But listen, you got to be resolved to persevere. Hang in there. Get over the next hump. Stay close to the Lord. Don't stop. Stick it out. I imagine that being a Christian was very difficult in Antioch, with all of its paganism, with all of its political intrigue, with all of that mix of different ideologies. You couldn't be a spiritual cream puff and last very long in Antioch. You needed help. And the help was in the form of Barnabas. I've often thought that a relationship with Christ is similar to a marriage relationship. It takes a commitment. Every counselor, every pastor has had people come into their office and say, "Well, we married each other 5 years ago, but we've lost our feelings for one another. We don't have the same feelings that we once had about each other." Now, folks, if you expect to get married and maintain the same fervor and intensity and level of feelings you had on your wedding day or honeymoon, we'll see you for counseling soon enough. It ain't gonna happen. No, the relationship morphs. It changes. It matures. It gets better. But you need somebody to help you over some of those humps sometime for longevity's sake. And a relationship with Christ can be like that. You make a commitment. It's exciting. You feel great. But you won't necessarily feel the same way you do the moment you give your life to Christ or the first week that you do. There comes a point where the old nature kicks in and fights it and cries out for relief. I don't know if I like this. I didn't sign up for that. Several years ago, I had a friend named Jerry. I've lost contact with him, but he majored in the great outdoors. I mean, literally, he went to college to become a park attendant, and he knew the great outdoors. He was an expert backpacker. I was not. He decided that I needed to see something very beautiful in Death Valley, California. By the way, they named that place very appropriately, Death Valley. I thought I almost met mine on one particular day. He wanted to hike from the floor of the valley to alpine level in a single grueling day. I said, okay, I'll do it. Dumb. Put a backpack on. Again, he's an expert backpacker. I am not. After, you know, I think it was a long time, 15 minutes. It grew into several hours. I'm thinking, this is stupid. I'm walking up a hill to see something. Well, he was not only an expert backpacker, he was an expert encourager. And I still remember some of the phrases. Skip, don't stop. It's worth it. Wait till you see the view. You see the shadow, the circle of the earth. You can see it nowhere else like this. And he just kept describing how beautiful it's going to be. Now I'm thinking, why can't we just camp here? He goes, oh, no, no, no. Up there is better. And I made it. And I wouldn't have made it unless Jerry was there to say, you can make it. Wait till you see it. I think a relationship with God is similar. We kind of get stuck and we need somebody to go, whoa, 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 keep going. It's better up there. It's better further on. And the encouragement of another can make all the difference in the world. So we encourage them to stay with the Lord. Now look at verse 25 and 26. This is where we end it. The third slice of this, the third display of applause is by finding an old comrade. Look at verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. We found him. He brought him to Antioch so that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay, over in Tarsus, there's a man that's been waiting 7 years named Saul. He had a vision from Christ that one day he would bear the name of Jesus to kings, Gentiles, and the children of Israel. But he's been waiting a long time, and nobody from Jerusalem has come knocking on his door. And he's probably thinking, I don't know what I ate that night on the Damascus Road, but I don't know if this will ever happen. That's over in Tarsus. Over in Antioch is a guy named Barnabas who's surveying the spiritual landscape, and he's thinking, now who can I get to help me here? Who out there knows Greek culture, Roman politics, and Jewish religion? I know exactly who. There's only one guy. It's that Saul guy who 7 years ago I introduced to the church in Jerusalem. He's sitting somewhere over in Tarsus. I'm going to find him. So it says he went to seek for him. And the word seek means to hunt down or to search for someone in the midst of difficult circumstances. Hard to imagine today. You want to get a hold of someone, you get on your cell phone. He couldn't do that. There were no operators in those days. He couldn't Google search Saul of Tarsus. Boom. Oh, great, there he is. Put in my GPS unit and off I go. He had to physically leave one city and go through the town of Tarsus and shout out the name. Hey, have you guys heard of a guy named Shaul? who lives in Tarsus. I have a hunch he's preaching the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, we know who he is. And they found him, and he brought him. He brought him, and they became a team together for a while. This is the power of applause. The power of applause, of encouragement. First by finances, then by friendship, then by fellowship, now by fitting someone just right as part of the team in Antioch. In fact, get this. I love this part. When you read the lineup of these two together, you begin reading Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas' name is always first. You know why? He was the major leaguer. Saul of Tarsus was the minor league, the protege. Until you get to chapter 13. Chapter 13, there's an interesting switch. It's not Barnabas and Saul. Now it's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Throughout the rest of the story until they finally split company. We'll read that in Acts 15. So here's Barnabas, a guy from Jerusalem, sees the need, pushes up Saul higher, 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 till he himself becomes less significant. That takes humility. That's like John the Baptist. When he met Jesus, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Same heart as Barnabas had. Dwight Moody used to say, the measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves. And again, I'll say it. If you didn't have Barnabas, you wouldn't have Saul. If you didn't have Barnabas, you'd have half of the New Testament missing. Because Paul the Apostle wrote 13 epistles from the Apostle. And it was Barnabas who brought him into that venue. Verse 26, it mentions that they were first called Christians in Antioch. Understand that the term Christian was not coined by Christ. He didn't one day go, now what am I going to call my new movement? Christians. He never called his followers that. The followers themselves never called themselves Christians. They called themselves beloved, faithful, saints, brethren. The Jews never gave them that name. They never would admit that they're followers of the Christ, the Messiah. They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. This was a term coined by people in Antioch who, in observing these new believers, noted the intensity, the devotion to Jesus Christ, and they called them Christians. Now, I want to close this morning with a couple of lessons. A couple of things to write down if you're in the mode of writing. First of all, it's this. Less known does not mean less important. Barnabas today is certainly less known than Paul. But where would Paul be without Barnabas? Where would Luther be without Melanchthon? Where would Lindbergh be without Ryan? These less important or less known were not less important. They were very needed. And Paul the Apostle will say concerning the body of Christ, some parts of the body that seem to be the weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Here's my point for you. You may or may not be apostle material. That doesn't matter. You may be Barnabas material. You might be the kind of a person who will be responsible because of the gift of encouragement, not exhortation. Encouragement. For somebody like Paul to be successful. Second lesson, and I close with this. Little things can have big impact. Little words of encouragement. I believe in you. You're going to make it. We'll make it together. I'm by you. I see the Lord in you. Keep going. Those little things can have huge, huge impact. As one person said, a pat on the back, though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. The church desperately needs encouragers. The writer of Hebrews said, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want to close with a story. I opened with a story about a baby named Sally Culver. She had the fan club, remember? I want to close with a story about another babe. This is Babe Ruth. And it's the story of the man who came to see Babe Ruth after a time of failure. When I decided to meet Babe Ruth and get an autograph from him, I couldn't have selected a more inappropriate time. It was a balmy evening in May of 1935. Earlier that day, the great home run slugger had struck out three times while playing for the Boston Braves against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The fans booed him unmercifully, as I was to learn he was feeling pretty low. I went to the Babe's hotel in Pittsburgh that night and phoned him from the lobby. I collect autographs, I told him. You sure you want my autograph after I made such a fool of myself today? He grunted. I assured him I most definitely did. So the Babe gave me his room number and invited me up. This would never happen today. He told me the door was open and I was just to walk in. When I entered the room, I was saddened to see the king of SWAT wearing an old blue robe, laying on the Davenport, picture of dejection. He was then 40 years old, and his career was just about over. He signed his autograph beneath his picture in my book, and then looked up and said, I feel so terrible. Not only did the fans boo me, but some idiot spat on me. I guess he was mad because he paid to see me hit a home run. I tried to console the big slugger by saying, ah, forget today. Tomorrow's another day. I have enough confidence in you to predict that tomorrow you'll be the hero of the game. Do you really mean that, kid? He said, sitting up. When I said that I did, he went on, well, I'll be. I'm going to autograph this baseball, too. It was used in batting practice. Don't you wish you had that ball? I went home that evening thinking about the Babe and hoping that my prediction would come true. Well, the next afternoon, I anxiously tuned into the game. Babe Ruth was making a comeback. He hit three home runs, the second being the only ball ever hit over right field grandstand at Forbes Field. He was the hero once again. Those three homers, number 712, 713, and 714, turned out to be the last in Babe Ruth's illustrious career. He retired from baseball just 8 days later. Now, am I saying that it's because of that man's visit that he hit those three home runs? Not necessarily, but I bet it had a lot to do with it. That kind of encouragement, exhortation, went a long way.
Well, hopefully there are people in your life who are encouraging you to swing for the fences. While our goal as Christians isn't to seek the approval of people, it's nice to know some who genuinely care for us and are willing to cheer us on in our walk with Christ. And that's just about all the time we have for today. But before we go, here are all the details in a frightening new documentary that may help you figure out what to do with the coming spooky holiday.
How far and how fast has America fallen? Have we learned any lessons from the past? The kings of Israel led their nation into evil and idolatry with inevitable consequences. Our country is in death spiral, and media is doing everything to accelerate the decline.
Kids are desperate for answers today, and they're looking in all the wrong places.
Your family can combat the onslaught of evil, but you need to be informed. You can take practical steps. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Evil has never had more allies in the media than now, but God's grace can shatter every deception and reveal the truth about Jesus Christ.
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming.
The parent has to understand their kids are being raised in the United States of entertainment.
Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
Well, if this was a study you'd like to review again, you can order a copy of it when you call 1-800-922-1888. we'd be delighted to send you a copy on CD for just $6. And anything you share above that suggested donation will go towards keeping this ministry on the air in your area and helping us reach new areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit our website at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross, and study the Word of God, and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, 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 whoa. Make the connection.
How can we measure the growth of a new Christian? When will we know that they're ready to move on to other, more challenging levels of ministry? We'll answer those questions and more next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.